Good morning, Church on the Rock.
My
name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock. That's kind of how I get going. I'm a little under the weather this morning, so I ask that you just give me grace as I labor through the text here. But I'm going to really be feeding off of you, so that's kind of how I get started. I say good morning. You guys say good morning, Rashad. And we kind of go from there. So if you're a guest, we want you in on this too. We want you in on this. We thank you for being here. You could have went anywhere this morning, and God led you here. So we are rejoicing for that, and we are ready to get started. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad.
Amen, amen. We are going to be in John this morning. We are going to be in John this morning, chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. 34 through 35, we're in our series called Allelone Together. Allelone is a Greek word that means one another. We decided here at Church on the Rock that we really want to get past that Sunday morning experience where people come and call themselves Christians because they can exist among one another just on Sunday morning when actually most of your heads are like facing somebody behind you and you're not actually doing a whole lot of stuff together. It comes to what he calls us to do, one anothering. What does it look like to go past Sunday morning and prioritize each other? And last week we talked about the harmony or the peace that God calls us to have with one another. And we looked at all these sacrificial ways of just coming together and longing to be with one another after Sunday and after just your church events, but actually spending time together because we need each other, because we love each other, because this world is hard. By itself, the last thing we need is to be against each other. So we were calling for peace, calling for harmony. And this week, we're going to be dealing with the love, which is the one that is the most commanded throughout the scriptures. There's 59 one another texts in the scriptures of what God commands us to do when we come together. 16 of those simply say love one another. 16 of the 59 say love one another. So I chose a text this morning that was on my heart, and I really can't wait to get in this. Let's look at John 13, 34 through 35 real quick. John 13 reads like this. A new commandment I give to you, this is Jesus speaking, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The next verse says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So to open this up, the first thing I thought about was like Colts fans. I thought about Colts fans. Like you come from the South Side, East Side, West Side, North Side of Indianapolis, all these differences, all these things. But when it's Sunday and it's game time, all that goes out the door, right? I don't care what side of town you're from. I don't care about this or that. When we're in that building rooting for the Colts, we are in common. We love the same thing. We're focused on the same thing. So we're all wearing the same jersey. We're all rooting for the same team. We're all fired up, and in a sense, we all love one another, right? And I was like, wow, how is it we can do that for the sports team, but we can't do that for Christ? Because that's what happens. We get in there in the stadium, and we're cheering, and I don't even know you, but I'm hugging you and high-fiving you and all these things. And we can't do that for Christ at all. So as I looked at this, I especially in light of everything that happened yesterday, I want you to see what Jesus is doing here as we get into this text. My first point, and I'm going to be quick, I'm going to be really quick. My first point here is Jesus gave his rule. You're asking the question, what does Christ want you to do? He gave you a rule. He said, love one another, right? That was the rule he gave you. He gave you a commandment. He gave you a rule. And we want to break this down. Go back to the verse on 34 there. It says right here, a new commandment I give to you. Now, we have to question that. If it's a new commandment, that makes it seem like it never existed before. But if we go back to Leviticus 19:18, it says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So, how is this a new commandment? I mean, it says right there in Leviticus in the Old Testament that you should love your neighbor as yourself. But if we jump back up to the text that we're in today, that word new is the word kainos. It's a Greek word called kainos. It's different than the word neos. Now look at this. Neos new is like something that's never existed before, right? So like if you have something that you've never had before, it is neos new. But kainos new, which is the one that we have in this text right here, kainos new is an improved, better, or new form or new quality of something. So this commandment was not a commandment you've never heard before or they had never heard before, but it had a new quality to it. It's kind of like when you go to Hebrews 8:13. Look at this scripture right here. Hebrews 8:13, he says, when he said, talking about Jesus, a new covenant, that's the kainos new, he has made the first obsolete. So it's not a new covenant per se, but it's a better covenant. It's an improved covenant. The quality is greater in the covenant. So you look at that, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. It's not that it's brand new, never heard of before. It's improved. The quality is greater. So that's the new that we're looking at. He looks at you, he looks at us and says, and he looked at the disciples right there in the upper room and said, I give you a new, an improved, a kainos commandment. Commandment, rule, instruction, right? Now look at this. This is where it starts for us. If Christ doesn't have authority in your life to give that rule, to give that instruction, then I can see how you're out here participating in the hate that's going on in the world. Because you don't have a ruler. I mean, it kind of goes back to Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king, so everybody did what they wanted to do. A lot of us are living our lives, and we have Christ our Savior, but honestly, it's just fire insurance because we don't have Christ our Lord. We're walking around, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but we ain't doing nothing he's asked us to do as Christians. So when you back up in the context of that John, give me John 13:13. I want to show you the context here. This is when he's talking to them, and he just washed their feet. Now look at this. He says, you call me teacher and Lord. He's talking to the disciples. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. Keep going. He says, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Keep going. And then he says, for I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. One more. And then he says, truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is greater than the one who sent him. So in that text, in those three verses, he says, I am Lord, I am teacher, I am master, I am sender. If these things are true, then act like it. If these things are true, then act like it. Do as I've done. Carry out my commandments. I was over at Rena and Tim's house yesterday eating breakfast. Rena and Tim, put your hands in there so everybody know who you are. There we go, bow. And I was over there eating breakfast with their family and Tim's parents. And while we were eating, Reese, right? That's his name. Reese was in the living room, and he had this, like, Nerf bow and arrow, and he pulled that thing all the way back like this and was about to shoot somebody or something. Tim looked over and said, Reese, no. Reese looked at him and was like, why not? Right? And that's kind of how we get with our father, right? But I love Tim's response, because I said so. I'm your father, I'm in charge, this is my authority. I don't have to give you all the details. If I'm your father, I said, no, you don't do that. He gave an explanation afterwards, because you know kids, that's not enough, right? But look at this, love one another. Why? Because he said so. If he is your Lord, teacher, master, sender, then act like it. You don't have to get in here and say, oh, well, I haven't broke that down in the Greek. And it says love one another. That's it. Keep it simple. Love one another. It's not based on anything. It doesn't say love those you get along with most. Nah, don't say that. It doesn't say love those who have the same skin color as you. Nope. It don't say that. It doesn't say love those who are only from Brownsburg and not from Avon. Well, I'm just teasing. I love my Avon people. But you see, when you see that, it doesn't give any conditions on that love. It just says to love one another. That is a commandment. A commandment, not an option. It doesn't say, hey, I hope you can love one another. I suggest you love one another. It says love one another. Period. But yet we get in the church and everything that matters outside of the church, outside of eternity, is what splits us from loving one another. I can't love you because of who you voted for. I can't love you because of what side of the political spectrum you're on. I can't love you because you just don't line up with the way I was brought up. We got too many differences. The Spirit can't overcome our differences, but he can overcome the grave. But Jesus is my Lord. He's my teacher. He's my master. He's my sender. But I got conditions on my love, even though he put no conditions on it. So that if makes you question some things. And it's crazy because it goes even further, like, if he's your Lord, if he's your teacher, if he's your master, if he's your sender, that one another that we're talking about in the church, like, it's funny because most of us can't even do that at home with the spouse. Most of us can't even carry this out in our households. And I tell people, the household is the training grounds for what you need to be doing in the church. So if you can't even love your wife, regardless of conditions, no wonder you can't get it right in the church. And this was a commandment, not an option. We so quick to jump back and look at the Ten Commandments and condemn people and point fingers on how they're failing in their sin. And I just look at people and say, man, y'all can't even love one another. I've seen so many things divide the church. I'm not just talking about Church on the Rock. I'm talking about any church that you belong to. Maybe you're a guest here. You could probably, you're familiar with some of this. You see things divide in the church, and you wonder, how can we be carrying out the first, what do you say? There's two important commandments. Love God, love each other, right? We all worried about all these other doctrines and stuff. We can't even get the basics down. Y'all want to argue theology? Y'all can't even love each other. How's that for theology? We want to be divided over end times theology, but we can't even love one another? That doesn't even make sense to me. Like, that's the basics. That's the kindergarten level of being a Christian. Just love God and love each other. Y'all want to do calculus in kindergarten. Now, some of y'all, the Allen family, if y'all know anything about Josh Allen's kids, he might be able to do that. Levi might be able to do it. So his rule, what does Christ want you to do? He wants you to love one another. Next point is his requirement. How does he want you to do it? Go back to 34 for me real quick. Go back to 34. It says that he wants you to love. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. So it's not just his rule, it's his requirement. That's what makes this the kainos new. That's what makes, in the past, it was love as you love yourself. But now he looks at you and says, let's make this perfect. Love as I have loved you. Now remember, contextually, what you're looking at here. Remember, contextually, you're looking at Jesus who just washed the feet of his disciples. Okay? And that included Judas. If you really read it in its context, he washed the feet of even Judas. So he washed the feet of a betrayer in Judas. He washed the feet of a denier in Peter. And the rest of them deserted him. And he says, now love as I have loved you. Now remember, the foot washing, the significance of that is, that was the lowliest of low things to do. They didn't have Adidas or whatever shoes you're wearing. They had sandals. They had like Air Jesuses on, right? and they're walking around in sandals, and it's dirt, and if it was raining, it would have been mud, and this is what they're walking on. So when they came together, when they come inside the house, there would have been a bowl there to have the feet cleansed, because when they sat down, they weren't like sitting up at tables. They were reclining to the side. The feet would have kind of been in the vicinity. They needed to be cleaned, and there was usually a servant or a slave or somebody who's the lowest of the low who would do that. Well, in the midst of that, Jesus took on that responsibility, and you see this big paradox of a servant leader. And he looks at you and says, that's how you are called to love. That's my command for you. I washed the feet of my betrayer, my denier, and my deserters. So what in this church can offend you so much that you can't love one another? The person who literally turned me over to the cross, I washed his feet. The lowliest of the low. So what among one another can keep you from loving each other? Seriously, tell me, how hard has somebody stepped on your toes that you cannot love them? How big of a difference does somebody have that you cannot love them in this church? Think about that. Like, reflect on that. Who do you have a grudge with that is a believer right this moment, that you can't get over that disagreement or that difference in opinion, that difference in thinking, that you can't love them, that you wouldn't wash their feet? Because in that moment, you're disobeying a commandment. It makes me cry too. In that moment, you're disobeying a commandment, not a suggestion. Love as I have loved you. Have you forgotten who you are? Like, let's get into the gospel, right? You were a sinner when he loved you. You were his enemy when he loved you. When he died for you, you were on the other side, the other team, working against him. That's when he loved you. And you want to wait for people to get it together before you love them? But that's what leads to what's going on in the world. We're waiting on each other to get it right instead of loving on credit. Loving because I was told to by my Lord and Savior. People come in here, all types of different views, on all types of different things. Your view has nothing to do with how I love you. Nothing. I don't care if you think the Confederate flag supports history or if you think the Confederate flag is offensive. I love you the same because my Father told me to love you. And as soon as I love you that way, that flag has no power in here, regardless if you're for it or against it, because my faith has all power. And yet we're divided. We walk through these doors divided, not in one mind, not in one worship, because we're not loving, because we're not simply carrying out the commandment of Christ to just love. I don't need to know all of that about you. All I need to know is that you understand that you're a sinner and that you can't get yourself right. So anytime we have differences and stuff, I chalk it up to sin. The Bible says we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but that's all we seem to be doing these days. You can't offend me because I'm not looking at you when you offend me. I'm looking at what's working behind the scenes, because that's the true battle right there. Not the flesh and blood, but the principalities, the rulers of the dark heavenly realms, like that right there. That's what I'm mad at, sin. And how do I fight that? I don't fight it with these. I don't even really fight it with this. I fight it with this right here. The sword. The word. The thing that puts us all on level ground at the feet of Christ and says we need the same Savior. Your brokenness may look different than mine, but it's all brokenness. So where you're struggling with this, and I'm struggling with this, and everything else in between, none of that even matters. matter. Sorry, I'm getting all I'm tired. Look, none of that even matters because at the feet of Christ, you're struggling with racism, you're struggling with adultery, you're struggling with homosexuality, you're struggling with this, you're struggling with that. Hey, we all struggling with something that's a result of sin. And it's amazing how the one thing that separates us from God is the one thing that equalizes us on this earth, sin. So I love you. I love you because I remember who I am. I remember where I came from. I know that I would not be assured of where I'm going if it was not for Christ. It has nothing to do with me. So I love you because that's how I'm required to love you, the same way Christ loved me. So that's where the confusion takes place. Some of us have never even experienced that love. That's where I start loving the world because I get that they haven't experienced that love. They have no clue what I'm talking about. So the next point is his reason. His reason. Why does Christ want you to do it this way? Why does Christ want you to do it this way? Let's go to the next point. John 13:35 for me. I'm sorry. So after he says that, John 13:35, he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So you had his rule, you had his requirement, and now you have his reason. All men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Now here's the first thing we do. We take this text and we jump and say, The world will know that we belong to Christ if we love one another. And that's correct. That's correct. The world will look inside these walls right now and see different ethnicities, different cultures, different backgrounds right now in here worshiping on a Sunday after one of the most painful Saturdays together. And they're going to say something's different. Something's different about those people because there's no way all 100-something people in here have the same views. How are they able to gather and make this happen? It must be Christ. It must be them being disciples. It must be their love for one another. There's something different about them that stands out. So yeah, we will be different or look different to the world. But let me show you something that just really popped out. It says all man, right? It says all men. And sometimes when we think about that, we only think about the world. But what about inside the church? Like, the Bible says to test the spirits, right? It says to test the spirits. And one of those great tests is love. Like, instead of judging each other based on how well you keep whatever sin you want to throw in and how well you're fighting this sin or that sin, how about we start here? How are you loving one another? Are you loving one another? Like, you're struggling with whether or not sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is a true believer. How are we loving one another? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John 4. Give me 1 John 4. Give me the verses in 1 John 4 there. I want you to see this real quick and see how this pops out for you. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Keep going. He goes on to say, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. So the one who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. That sounds like a rap right there. I could flow that right there. Keep going. And then he says, by this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. In other words, it's not just for one another. So it's not just for the world, all man. It's not just for those in the church, but it's for you. You're sitting there questioning, I think I'm saved. I'm not sure. You want to examine yourself? Love. It's the greatest examination of what's going on inside of you. Love. Love. Because honestly, if you look at this world, it's the hardest thing to do. The only way you can love the way that Christ has asked you to love is the Holy Spirit supernaturally working in you. Most of us can barely love our blood relatives, let alone our blood relatives. So look at this. You may have confidence in the day based on you seeing love working in your life. Confidence to stand before Christ and know and be assured of your salvation because you see this supernatural love working within. People that you come to church with, we don't all like each other. Let's just keep it real. People don't all like each other. There are differences. We have to acknowledge that. There are differences. But what overcomes those differences? Those natural differences? A supernatural love. A supernatural love. A love that can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. So how do you examine your salvation? How do you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Love. Love. Love is the reason. The way I love, the way I sacrificially love my brothers and sisters is the reason I have full confidence on where I'm going when this is said and done. What about you? So that all man is not just the world, not just the people in the church, but it's for yourself. Keep going in this scripture right here. He goes on to say, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Keep going. And then he says, we love because he first loved us. In other words, I'm not loving you based on something you've done for me. I'm loving you because I've received a love from him that I can't help it to love you. Because of what I've received from Christ, because of how he went to that cross, because he had the power to come up off the cross, but love kept him on the cross, I love you in the same way. I love you in the same manner. There's nothing you could ever do to offend me enough to stop loving you. Can you say the same? Can you honestly say the same? Last two verses here, he says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. You say you love God, but you can't even love the person right next to you. The Bible calls you a liar. You're a liar. And then you start coming up with all these justifications and justified reasons why you can't love your brother in Christ. And the Bible looks at you and says, you're still a liar. You're a liar. You haven't seen God. You haven't seen Jesus. But you can't love your brother? Like, y'all ever seen somebody, like, if somebody got with somebody, and this is off the top of the head, if somebody got with somebody who had kids and went to that like, say somebody got with a mother who had children already and said, I like you, but I don't like your children. How long do you think that relationship is going to last? Right? You like me, but you don't like my kids. Right? But that's what you're doing when you can't love one another. God, I like you, I don't like your kids. Or, excuse me, I love you, but I don't love your kids. That's what it looks like. And it makes no sense when you make it real plain. I love God, I don't love his children. Really? Then you're a liar. Then you're a liar. Last one right here. And then it goes on and says, and this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God loves his brother also. That's where I'm ending this and I want you to see how the chapter of John 13 closed out. I want you to see how the chapter of John 13 closed out. John 13, verses 37 and 38, or 38. Okay, Peter went and said, Jesus, because Jesus said, I'm about to depart from you. And he said, I want to go where you go. I want to follow you. And he says, I would lay my life down for you. And look at Jesus' response. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. This is what I want to ask you to respond to right here, okay? So many of us are listening to this message and say, yeah, Rashad, I get it. Love each other, love each other, love each other. I got all that. But look what he said. Look at this question. It's powerful. Will you lay down your life for me? He's speaking to you. Everybody in this room, will you lay down your life for Christ? Because you know what that looks like? It looks like laying down your life for each other. Will you lay down your life for Christ by laying down your life for each other? All the stuff and the crap going on in Virginia right now, I guarantee you there are people on both sides of that spectrum who claim to be Christians. But they're allowing their views to disrupt them laying down their life for one another. You know what happens when I lay down my life? Anything outside of this right here, this Bible, is insignificant if it's going to hinder my relationship with you. I lay down my life for you. I give up a lot of my opinions for you. I compromise a lot of my views for you. To hold on to the unity, to hold on to the peace, to hold on to the family, to the fellowship for you. Are we willing to do that for one another? Or does a flag mean more than our faith? Does our political views mean more than each other? Do our differences mean more than each other, man? Like, there's not nothing else to really preach to try to make it sound sweet. This is what it is. What are you willing to lay down for Christ? And then look at one another and lay it down for each other. Because that's what he's asked you to do. I was up all night just like, really just struggling with everything that was going on. Because I had people inboxing me, and they were inboxing me with their opinions and views, and I just said, hey, just love people. The world, y'all, as Christians, we got enough against us, man. We're fighting so much. Why are we fighting each other? I need you all to be partnered in with one another. There's a reason why why the Bible says this 16 times. 16 out of the 59. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Don't just say it, do it. To say it means nothing if you don't do it. Now, there's somebody in this room right now. Perhaps you haven't experienced that love. Perhaps you're not aware of what being loved by Christ means. I want to extend an opportunity to you right now, right this moment, to receive that love of what he did on that cross for you, for me, for many of us in here. You see, in that moment, all the differences in the world, they really go away, I promise you. They go away. I'm no longer concerned with what makes us different. I just want to carry out what Christ has called me to do. Love God, love one another, serve this world. That's all I want to do. So if you're struggling with all the stuff that's going on in the world, whether you're a non-believer or a believer, the answer is found in Christ alone. The solutions to what's going on in this world is found in Christ, not the hashtags, not the news posts, not the Facebook posts. It's found in Christ. That's where the answers are found. That's where the solutions are found. You really want to make a difference? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Go out in the world and preach the gospel. That's what's going to make an actual change to what's going on. When you have like-minded believers who are sacrificing, who are laying down their lives for one another, all this racism stuff goes out the door. And you have examples like we have here at Church on the Rock, a black pastor with a predominantly white congregation in a predominantly white town. That's the gospel working. That's God's love working. That's what it is. I know people are tired of the race stuff, but the fact is, it's real. It's real. And as a church, as a body of Christ, we're called to change the world one soul at a time by sharing the gospel and teaching people about the love of Jesus Christ. I ask that you guys take this and actually make those changes today. Actually do something in your household to make those changes today, in your communities, in your workplaces. Make those changes today. Choose to love the way Christ loved you. Long before people was on his team, on his side, he loved them then. So love the people in your oikos, in your rhythm of life now, the same way. I love you all. Thank you.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock, building his body, breaking our barriers. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.